Hello, and welcome to another episode of Banking on Information. Today, my guest is Clint Lotz, who is founder of Trackstar AI. Welcome to the podcast, Clint.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Clint, we ask everyone the same question to start with. Here it is for you. Why, Clint, do you do what you do?
That's a fantastic question. And it really goes back to kind of the ethos of who I am, to be honest with you. As a kid who grew up, you know, below the poverty line in the Midwest, credit was this like mystical thing that other people had, you know, that it wasn't really something that my family really understood or even had the concepts to take advantage of. And when I found myself later on while in college working for a community bank, it really became prevalent. We weren't the only ones. You know, I was a mortgage systems administrator for a bank with about a dozen or so branches, not massive, but big enough. You know, we had a pretty good presence in the part of the country that we were in. And it really gave me exposure to find out how I could really take technology to try and solve human problems. And that's kind of always been my passion, whether it be, you know, getting my grandmother a computer, you know, and teaching her how to use it. Gosh, long time ago. Well, we're not going to talk about how long ago that was, but all the way up to trying to take, you know, the tech that's available to me at a grander scale and be able to impact more consumers' lives. And there's not much more you can do to help a consumer than to be able to kind of help push them in the right direction financially. And I realized that, you know, as I got older and graduated and found myself working for the SaaS company that does something specifically for that, right? Trying to help consumers like with their credit picture.
So growing up, you didn't have access to credit, but then you learned about it and now you're passionate about leveraging it so that more people have access to it. And then that intersection with using technology to actually give people access to that. I think that's a great why that you have. Now, what is the number one use case that you solve for?
Our solution is built on nearly two decades of data that we've collected as a company. And it's all proprietary data, dispute outcome data we've collected from across the country, thousands of small little mom and pop operations that ended up serving all the way to large corporations that served tens of millions of consumers over the time that we've worked with them. And through that, I've seen personally where credit and the credit reporting system fails, like where the pitfalls are, where we can see the biggest issues that drive financial outcomes in the wrong direction. And that's really what I'm going after. There's a lot of hype around AI. I'm not trying to date myself, but it reminds me of the dot-com bubble, right? Those of us that are old enough to remember. But when you look closely and you kind of peel back the layers and the hype, there's actually something of substance that's there. And that's really what I'm trying to drive, right? In college, I was enamored by statistics and being able to use predictive analytics and big data and AI. And there wasn't affordable processing, right, that you could run these type of projects on back then. Now it's at your fingertips, right? And so let's take what's readily available that's been brought to us by the likes of large corporations like AWS and apply it to something that's directly human related, right? Errors in credit reports. Just one thing wrong in someone's credit report could be 60, 80, 100 points difference. Like it's massive. I've seen huge swings in consumers' credits when they just had one particular error fixed or deleted. They just address it. And what I found is that over time, most people don't realize that there actually is something that they can do about it. And there are resources, and there are even free resources that can help kind of guide you through this. And so I thought about, when is it the most impactful for me as a consumer to realize or to be notified that something isn't right, that this technology, this AI tech found something that's suspicious, if you will? Well, preferably not when trying to apply for something, right? That's the worst time ever to tell me, oh yeah, it's a no, and we don't think that's accurate, but it's still a no. It just felt conflicting to me. So anywhere you see a FICO score or credit score, like credit monitoring or financial health apps, like that's where we want to be. We want to be right there. Here's your free score. Here's your free scan to check out errors based on our technology. Here's the tools you can use, or here's the steps to follow to actually address that. Let's do it now. Let's be proactive instead of reactive, and, you know, get out of this predatory type repairing situation where me as a consumer, I have a smartphone. Most people do. I can use it with a couple clicks and I can address this on my own, right? I know my history better than anybody else's.
So you help identify where those mistakes are being made so that people can solve them.
Yeah, absolutely. Based on our you know, years and years and millions of data outcomes that we've collected, we're able to pretty accurately identify errors in credit reports in real time using our product that we call Revelar as our solution.
Now, when that happens, when you actually do that, how do your customers talk about the outcome of that? When they say, hey, you found this mistake, you helped me fix it, what are their words?
For our consumers, think of our partners as an example, which is mostly like the lending institutions. That's who we directly work with. They echo the consumers. And they echo the consumers through the surveys and the feedback that they get, which is, I had no idea I could do this. Or, wow, this is amazing. You guys helped me improve, you know, my score by X amount of points in just a couple weeks. Or what our partners will say is, the individual stories are really powerful, but when you look at it from a higher level, it's how's it driving the business? We increased engagement on just our solution alone with one of our partners by like 160% over 6 months, like crazy. I mean, think about it, right? If you got an email from your bank and you know it's from your bank and it's like, hey, we just invented this new AI and it found something suspicious in your credit report, you're going to go check that out immediately, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially so in a B2B2C, that's the best feedback you can get. Not, hey, I'm happy because I checked the box for you, but my customer came back to me and said, hey, you really helped me make my life better. You really fixed a problem that I had. If they tell you that and they echo that to you, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you're doing is you're creating opportunities, starting with the consumer. You're creating an opportunity for them to take action, for them to do something about their credit report or their credit monitoring that they're just used to seeing over and over again, thinking that they're helpless about it. This turns that on its head. This gives the power in the consumer's hands.
Now, I like to do this thing called futures thinking. Now, we don't know what the future is going to bring. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. But let's do this exercise and let's think 10 years out. So we're now 2035 and we're going to think about a possible future. Now, if you think about that, what in your mind does the future look like in 2035 when it comes to credit reporting, when it comes to financial literacy, when it comes to credit overall?
I think in order to look forward, I'm always the put myself in their shoes kind of guy. And in order to look forward 10 years, I start by looking back 10 years, right? 2015, where were we? What were we doing? What did we think was going to happen? AI was still something we learned about in school. You know, it wasn't readily available as it is today. So looking at some of the advancements that's happened in technology and financial services in the last 10 years, as well as some things that maybe haven't moved as fast. I'm used to work in community banking. I'm very familiar with all the red tape that's required to make any changes. And I respect that. It's a regulated institution, as it should be. What I really see is more and more technology coming in to essentially get more and more market share from some of the other players that are out there. And only by partnering with smaller, nimble players, and you can see some of the big banks doing this already, acquiring innovation instead of trying to generate it themselves internally. It can be extremely difficult to create something internally. I see more and more of that happening. I don't necessarily think you're going to see a consolidation of large banking partners. What I do think you're going to start seeing a combination of features and solutions and things that kind of break out in the financial services sectors that really have an impact. As an example, bill pay, nobody heard about it. Then all of a sudden one bank had it and all the banks had to have it because you just go online and send a bill, or super easy, convenient. I think we're going to get more and more and more of that. And with the advent and proliferation of AI solutions that banks can plug and play into and pull out Rutgers data from all kinds of different sources, and then be able to put something specifically together for you, individually for you, call it hyper-personalization. I think that's where everything is going to go. I think not just financial services, because all of it's going to be driven by marketing. Honestly, if you're speaking directly to me as an individual, not as a class or a demographic or any of those other indicators we use today, I think that's going to be one of the biggest differences that we see. And that should be what's driving financial services. I would love to see access to capital and and more economic improvement for underbanked communities. And I think that the only real way to get there is through the technology and getting more hyper-personalized instead of thinking it as like so binary, prime and non-prime. I think those lines are really going to blur.
We hear the word hyper-personalization a lot these days, but especially if you think about your credit report, that report is very hyper-personalized. Your credit report is different from mine, from every other person. No one has the identical credit report. So actually checking it and fixing it and making sure that it's in the best shape is by definition a very hyper-personalized thing. So it'll be interesting to see how that's going to play out. How do you think AI and agentic AI, that's the big term we're hearing already today, how do you see that play out 10 years from now?
I see as an opportunity to be able to contain what it is the AI is ingesting, and more importantly, what it can do. And I think that's one of the things that is often a missed attribute when it comes to agents. If I lock down an agent and I say, go get me Taylor Swift tickets, and you set it up to do this, and you got it all dialed in, you know, the second they go live, you know how much you want to pay or bid. And I think opportunities like that are what's going to bring AI to every individual to make it understandable and useful for them. And then from there, I think once we get more comfortable with it, we can start to use these agents for more things. Okay, let me know when my favorite Starbucks drink is available, or let me know when that butter that I really, really like is 2-for-1 at the grocery store on the street. Like those type of things, like things that can really impact me on an individual basis. I think that's where agentic AI is going. And I see a big use case for that. But I think individually, we've all been using, you know, AI to create funny cat images or videos or whatever you want to do that you never thought you could do. I think that, you know, us as humans and Americans especially, just playing around with what's available at our fingertips, I think that's going to be kind of the breakout that we see to where it becomes useful. It's one thing if it's cool. It's one thing if it's techie and edgy, but none of that matters. And then all that'll wear off unless it's actually useful for somebody. If we can make it through these growing pains, I think there's some real value. And everybody can say you should pay down your credit card below 30% of its available limit. Okay, great. Everyone's known that for decades, ever since it was published. This is how you manage credit, right? That was like the rule. Okay, that's one of 100 million things that you could possibly do, to your point, that are individually that you can, steps you can take. And I think if you put an agent in there, and you put an agent with enough financial services background and just enough access to your data to be able to mirror and compare it to others that it's worked with before, regardless of any of the attributes, but your specific scenario, like your situation, what's the best steps forward? I think that could be extremely powerful for consumers. And I think we're just starting to see kind of that play out, right? Like our model will feed into large models that say exactly that. Hey, play down your, this card should be below 30%. The next thing they'll say is, by the way, we found this as a probable error. Here's the steps you should take to address it. Like we're starting to see some of that now, but you're right. The next step is going to be completely do it for me.
So given that possible future, what should we do today to get ready for that future?
I think it's extremely important to be aware of new solutions that are coming to market, but even more cognizant of what's really starting to get traction, what's really starting to grow. Right, in financial services. And there's tons of organizations out there that do this for a living on a regular basis, right? They're constantly tracking startups, what's growing, you know, all the lenders, all the big banks are doing this at the same time. It's the innovation economy, right? And I see that as a big driver of financial services. And I think you're really going to see even that pace accelerate. I feel like a lot of the bankers and a lot of the people that I talk to are really gung-ho about it. We have more opportunity. We have more things at our fingertips. Like that's where I see it really going. Everybody keeps using the word abundance. And I think that's just kind of a buzzword to say there's a lot of opportunity that's out there. We just need to figure out as individuals, as fintechs, as financial institutions, which ones are actually providing the best value to the consumers.
That's probably a good point to wrap this up on. Thank you very much, Clint, for being on the podcast today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And until next time, choose to be curious.